You're about to sit in on the world's first Manifestation Weekend. 25 people from all over the world paid $1,000 each to listen to Dr. Joe Vitale and his guest speakers reveal the secrets of how to have, do, or be whatever you want. So relax and enjoy this inspiring experience.
All of you should have some coconut, a bag of coconut. It may look like a bag of something else, but it's a bag of shredded coconut, organic as I understand it, so it's nothing but the best. And I'd advise you to have a little bit of it this morning and to drink a lot of water during this time together. And there's a couple of reasons for that, one I know and one I don't. The one reason is it's going to help center you. It's going to help keep your energy clear. It's going to help keep you in the moment and focused on what we're doing here. And the other one, according to Dr. Len, who I'll talk about a little bit here shortly, the coconut is supposed to help reconnect you to the divine. Oh, I heard some nice oohs there. That's good, right? You're not afraid to be connected to the divine. So definitely, definitely eat up on the coconut. So this weekend is called the Manifestation Weekend. I'm going to call it Beyond Manifestation because as this has grown, as I've become more aware of what I'm doing here and what I think I'm doing here and where I think we're going beyond manifestation. How many of you have already read my book, The Attractor Factor? Anybody not read it? Anybody not read it? Because you can leave if you haven't read it. No, just kidding. I have copies of the book in case somebody didn't have it. We want to go beyond the attractor factor even, because I have learned some things and I've been awakened to some things that go beyond what I understood the manifestation process to be. Now, how many of you already noticed that this workshop began the moment you signed up? Haven't some of you already noticed that you were manifesting some things or some things came together that you had been working on? Why do you think that was? Intention, because you stated some intentions and somebody else? You took action? By signing up, yes. Money like speed is one of my mantras. Yes, I say that all the time. Yeah, take action on those ideas that are coming to you. And I think Amy broke the record for money liking speed because I sent out the email telling people about the Manifestation Weekend, and Suzanne said it was like 3 or 4 minutes later, Amy signed up. And I was astonished, like my finger barely left the keyboard. How did that happen? She must have been waiting there. She said, I knew Joe was going to send an email today. I don't know what for what, but he's going to send an email today and I want to sign up for it. So she broke the record for that. So we want to go beyond the attractor factor. We want to go beyond what you think manifestation is, but there's also a hint here that you're already in the flow. Some of you have already raised your hands and said you've noticed that some things have started to take place once you signed up for this. So, let me tell you a little background. First, I have no idea what we're doing here. That's my open confession. When Dr. E. Haleakala Lu Len came to Austin for a private dinner that Suzanne and I put together, and he came and introduced everybody to the Ho'oponopono process. And Ho'oponopono, which you don't have to remember or write down or try to spell correctly, or speak, yes, just let it go. I refer to it as the Dr. Len process, Dr. Len's method. It was a life-changing weekend. I had already worked with him, already done a seminar with him. Some of you, like Nancy and Chris, have been there. Anybody else was at the weekend besides Suzanne and Larissa? Yeah, you were there. Okay, good. There were some people there. So you know what I'm talking about. And some of you have heard the audios of that. Ho'oponopono is a way of reconnecting to the divine and healing anything between you and anything that you see out there. It's all about taking 100% responsibility for everything you experience. On one level, you've heard that before. On another level, you've never grasped where that is taking us, because I never grasped it before. And I've been around the block a few times when it comes to self-improvement and spiritual matters, not only writing the books, but hanging out with some of the gurus in the field and being an inner world journalist for something like 20 years, and even writing about some of my experiences in a book called Adventures Within. But Dr. Len was completely different for me because he is a psychotherapist who healed, using Ho'oponopono, an entire ward of convicted mentally ill criminals. in Hawaii, Hawaii State Hospital. I had first heard the story about him using Ho'oponopono and healing this entire ward like 3 years ago, and I dismissed it. It was like, how in the world would he do that? That's an urban legend. That's not true. That's a superstition. Somebody made it up. Sounds good, feels good, not fact, is the way I dismissed it. I heard it again a year later, and I also heard that he had healed all of those people without seeing a single one of them. He did it by going to his office, looking at their charts, and if he saw that in one in particular, which he told me about later, there was a guy who had raped and then murdered this woman and did some terrible things to her. He was totally repulsed by it. Instead of going to the patient and dealing with the patient, he looked at his repulsed feeling. He worked to clear his repulsed feeling. As he was clearing his experience of whatever he was feeling between him and the patient who he had not seen, that patient started to get better. He said that these people were put in shackles on a daily basis, that these people were sedated on a daily basis, that psychologists would come in every 30 days and quit because they could not stand the environment. He went in there and worked for 2 years, and within that 2 years, people started to get better. People who had been sedated no longer had to be sedated. People who had been in shackles no longer had to be in shackles. People who had been put in there for a 7-year time period were being released in 7 months. In 2 years, all of those convicted mentally ill criminals were pronounced healthy and released. Within 4 years, the entire ward was closed. It remains closed today. Well, I became absolutely mesmerized by this story. I wanted to find this man. And I didn't find him easily, which is surprising because I can usually find things on the internet in nanoseconds. Couldn't find him for weeks. And when I did find him, it was very hard to connect with him. When I finally did connect to him, I just had a brief email relationship with him, and then I asked to talk to him on the phone. From there, after an hour of conversation, I booked my first training with him. From there, we booked that dinner, which was February 25th, in Austin. Now, at that dinner, I received what I will call the inspiration to do a manifestation weekend. Now, you have to understand how I received it, because this is very important to this whole weekend. It didn't come from me taking a couple existing ideas and saying, oh, I could make some money by having a manifestation weekend. It wasn't in a traditional marketing or creativity environment. If we had a phone book here, I would take it out and I would show you how you can create things laterally by looking in one category in the phone book and then looking in another category in the phone book and seeing how to join the two to create a new product. It's a creativity exercise. It works. You can create new products doing that. That's not where this came from. This came from where I will point up here. It came as if it was descending into me. It was not a thought. It was a feeling. It was a feeling that I'm sitting there having breakfast with him and Narissa and a couple other people on the Sunday after the event, and I just had this thing descend on me that said, do a manifestation weekend. Now, that's how I translated it. Those words weren't there. And I thought, I don't want to do a manifestation weekend. I got plenty to do. I'm booked for months. I've got books to write. I got projects to do. I've got other events that I'm going to have to go and participate in. I don't want to do a manifestation weekend. So I waited 3 days to see if it would go away. It didn't go away. So then I thought, okay, money likes speed. Take action. Honor the divine. Honor inspiration. I don't know where it's going, but go for the ride, Joe. Buckle up. So I wrote an email, as some of you, even Amy, told me. It wasn't your best email, Joe. It was not hypnotic. It was not descriptive. It was not very long. It was basically like, I'm holding a manifestation weekend. If you want to show up, show up. If you don't want to show up, have a nice day. Basically like that. Well, you showed up. You showed up. Is this not amazing? You showed up. I was meditating in my room before coming over here, basically talking to the divine, however you want to describe that. And I said, all right, you told me to bring him here. I got him here. Now what? And it said, go on in the room and trust yourself. Now, I got to spend another weekend with Dr. Len this past weekend. I did another training with him. And because we're very close now, and because I'm working on a book with him now about the whole Ho'oponopono process, which that won't be in the title, by the way. Nobody's searching on Ho'oponopono. Nobody can spell it right. Nobody will remember it. I get to spend extra time with him, which I really relish. The seminar is always wonderful, but my one-on-one time with him is priceless. And one evening when we went out to eat, I tried to get him drunk. And we had two bottles of wine, and I'm the one slurring my words. And he is unmoved. He's just totally focused. He's just totally clear. He's like in this space of being, I don't want to say a channel, but just being one with the divine and speaking whatever is there. And I told him about, hey, I'm doing the Manifestation Weekend. I previously asked him to come and co-host it and speak it, but he's in Canada speaking up there right now. And he said, Joe, you'll be fine. He said, the one thing that I tell you to do that's coming to him from the divine is don't prepare. That is a biggie for me. I prepare. I prepare everything. My vitamins are set out in my little cubby holes in the morning. You know, I know what time I'm going to work out. Everything's prepared. When I did my Hypnotic Selling Secrets course and 10 people had showed up and they paid $5,000 each, and Craig was one of the speakers, or Craig Perrine here, and Pat O'Brien was there. And I had that tightly controlled. You know, I let them speak on whatever they wanted to speak on, but I knew when they were going on, and I knew their basic subject matter, and I certainly knew mine. I had PowerPoint, I had my outline, I had my books. You will see, no PowerPoint, no computers, no laptop. It's me and you. And the divine. So you're going to hear a lot of the divine type talk today, because this is the new level that I'm taking things, and it goes beyond the attractor factor, it goes beyond basic manifestation, and it goes into a whole new area where things happen at warp speed. Now, some of you who follow my career have noticed that, my God, how does he get all of this done? How does he have all of these books done, and these workshops done, and these audio courses done, and these campaigns done? It's a very common question is, Joe, do you sleep? I get that a lot. And obviously I do. I have to. I'm human. But I am taking action on everything that's coming my way for the most part. And I am doing my best to be more and more in tune with the divine. So if I were going to tell you what the goal of this weekend is, it is for you to reconnect to the divine. Now this is huge. This is going beyond your thoughts. It's going beyond your feelings. It's going beyond who you think you are. It's going deeper than maybe you've ever been before. Some of you, if you've been meditating in the past and you've had some experience with going within yourself and going on that inner journey, have become aware that you can become aware of your thoughts, for example. And a meditative state is to be aware of your thoughts. Right now, you might be aware of your thoughts. You're thinking something, but another part of you is witnessing that, even as we're speaking. How many are noticing that that's going on? A few of you are noticing that. Okay, I want to take you deeper than that. I want to take you behind the witness. Now, this might be a little confusing at first, but if we pretend that this whiteboard is the state I want to take you to, this is the divine, your thoughts is the activity going on it, and a part of you is watching it. But the part of you that's watching it is not the divine. The divine is underneath even that. So we are going to the deepest level that I know of. We are going to source. Dr. Len calls this the Z state, meaning the zero state. And the title of our book right now is called Zero Limits. It may end up being called the Z state, because once I heard it, I liked that. But we want to go here, to the Z state. You want to eat some coconut? What kind of questions do you have right now that come to mind? Are you excited? Are you disappointed? Are you with me on this? Are we going to the divine? We're going. We're there. Well, I'm not so sure we're there. I like that thought that we're there. And I don't know who said that. It doesn't matter. But I'm not so sure that we're there. I think that there is at this total state of serenity that's behind all of it. And even us saying we're there and talking about it and me talking right now is a few steps removed from it. See, when I got the inspiration to do the Manifestation Weekend, it came from this deeper level. I was not seeking it. I did not intend it. This had nothing to do with intention. I received it. This came by grace. Grace is another important word here. We're all living here by grace. We made it. We're still making it. And when people talk about prosperity and say they want more, I often point out that you are living like kings and queens right now compared to people in third world countries, and even particularly compared to kings and queens of past times, because you live a more luxurious life than they did. They struggled, they fought, they died, they lived in pitiful circumstances. If you look at their castles, if you ever go look at their castles sometimes, it's the pits. Who wants to live there? So we are already at a different level of prosperity. We're already at a different level of manifesting. But we want to go beyond that. We want to take it deeper than that. So let me ask a few questions, unless you have a question right now. Anybody? 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 Going once? Going twice? Yes. Yeah. Put it right in front of Craig. I don't know. Is this okay here? I can move it to the floor. How about if this become our worshipful little area here? Everybody send love and light to it. All right. So, was there another question? Oh, good. I wondered if that question would come up. So what he asked, in case it didn't end up on, we are audio recording this, Pat is doing it. What about those who don't believe in a divine creator? So when we talk about the divinity, and they say, I don't believe in the divinity, what do we do then? Okay, so let me go with the question I was going to ask, because it ties in. Do you believe that you create your own reality? In all aspects, no exceptions, no reservations. Absolutely, 100%, all of it. Okay, so you created the person that doesn't believe in the divine. Okay. Yeah, no, I didn't say you didn't believe. I'm saying you are asking about somebody else's viewpoint. You are in charge of your reality. You created that other person. You with me? So, where the cleaning, this is Dr. Len's term, where the cleaning or the healing or the releasing comes in is back in you. Not over here. That other person is mirroring you. This is one of the things, that it's another big concept. First of all, if you take 100% responsibility for everything in your life, and you go and say, well, this other person doesn't believe this. You're going to take 100% responsibility for everything in your life. That other person is in your life. You have to take 100% responsibility for what that other person is feeling. And that does not mean you go and try to change the other person. It's you. They are a reflection of what is inside of you. I look at all of the outside world as a mirror. And it is reflecting what is in me. And so if somebody walks up and says, you know what, Joe, I think your ideas are BS. And that's a part of me that would think my ideas are BS. They are verbalizing. So it goes back to, I'd look within myself and say, okay, what part of me might not believe that? What part of me might not believe in the divine, for example? This is one of the biggest things to get for the entire weekend. 100% responsibility, I always thought meant I'm 100% responsibility for what I say, what I think, what I do. Dr. Len was able to heal all of those people in a criminally ill mental hospital by taking that to the nth degree, to the quantum level, meaning if he's 100% responsible for everything, he's responsible for all those people that showed up in the hospital. That's right. Whatever came up in him. So in other words, if he's looking at the file of Martha or Joe or whoever, whatever came up in him, he had to heal. He was healing what he felt created that person. They were in a shared creation. Okay, well, I'll talk about that. It's not as deep as what you think. He says it's not easy. It's simple, but it's not easy. And those who are at the dinner know what some of the words are that you end up saying. The biggest is, I love you. When I was with Dr. Len, I told him that Narissa, who's right there, had created a t-shirt that said, gut ho'oponopono, ? Like gut milk. And we made it. We thought we were brilliant. You know, we came up with this idea. We made it, and we made one copy with Cafe Press, sent it to Dr. Len, and he never responded. He never thanked us. He never said anything, which is uncharacteristic of him. So when I saw him, and it was that night when I was trying to get him drunk, and to get all the answers I could out of him. And I asked him, did you ever get that t-shirt? And he said, yeah, I got it. He says, I'm not going to wear it. And he said, nobody understands what that is. And I said, will anybody buy it? Thinking that all the students that go through his courses would buy it. He said, no, they probably wouldn't buy it. And I said, well, what are you going to do with it? He said, I'm going to frame it. He says, I'll probably never wear it. I'll put it up. And he said, a better t-shirt would be one that says, I love you. Because everybody who sees it would be saying, I love you, consciously or unconsciously, and that you would be stating it to yourself every time you put it on. So we're going to make I love you t-shirts. Next project. So one of the things in the Ho'oponopono process is to say, I love you. You're not saying it to the other person yet. You're not even saying it to you. You are saying, I'm glad you brought it up. They're asking if you say it to the other person or to yourself. No, you're saying it to the divine. This goes back, this is why you're going to hear the divine all over the place, because the divine is the backdrop that we are in, that we are spouting from. It is the whiteboard without anything on it, including I love you. The I love you is what you say to the divine, and you are sending it that way. Same direction that it said, come down and do the manifestation weekend, Joe. It came from there. So the divine is saying, if you say I love you to it, it's an open sesame to begin the cleansing process. Now, a whole lot of this, you have to take on trust. One of the big convincers to me is the fact that I know Dr. Land, that I know his story, that I'm writing his book. And anybody who has been a therapist, some of you are therapists that are here, as I remember, know how difficult, how challenging, how draining that can be. And here we have this Hawaiian therapist who says, I'm not even seeing the client. I'm looking at their chart, and I'm healing me. And as I heal me, they get better. That is vastly different from anybody else that I know of. So he says, you say, I love you. This is what he calls cleaning or clearing. The only job you have is to clean and clear yourself. I think my major contribution to the manifestation process, which is in the attractor factor, is the whole idea of step three, getting clear. And this ties into getting clear. I think the missing secret to manifesting whatever you feel that you want is this idea of getting clear within yourself. There's some sort of block, there's some sort of belief, there's some sort of issues about deservingness, whatever it happens to be. For me, I love you. The Ho'oponopono process is one of the best ways to get clear. But it's not just getting clear with yourself, it's getting clear with anything that shows up in your life, because anything that shows up in your life is part of you. So on another level, it is yourself. So I love you is one of the ones that you would end up saying, I'm sorry, and please forgive me. Now these are biggies, because what do most of us want to do? If somebody shows up in your face and they're arguing with you, do you say I love you? No, most of us don't. That's why he says this is simple, let's say I love you. But it isn't easy. In those circumstances, we get caught up in the emotion of the moment, myself included. I am doing my best to have that as a program that's running in my head 24 hours a day. When I did my first training with Dr. Len, months, I don't remember when it was, half a year ago, whenever it was, and I came back, without my choosing to have it happen, I love you was playing in my head night and day. Now, most of us have some sort of background thought, sometimes it's even music. You all have woken up at some point and there's a song playing in your head. And it's like, what is that doing in there? And I have learned that I can stop it and change the channel. But what this is all about is turning into having a mantra that's going all the time. I had that one happening unconsciously. I didn't turn it on. Somehow it got turned on. I love you was playing night and day. I would just note, oh, it's still going on. It's going on in my head. Isn't that cool? It's in the background. I love you. 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 All the time. After about 2 weeks, it started to wear down. Then it started to disappear. Then I had to consciously say, okay, I love you. I love you. Now, of course, I've had more time with Dr. Land, another weekend with Dr. Land. The I love you is back in there. And I'm doing my best just to keep feeding and watering it and consciously doing it as well as letting the tape unconsciously play. I love you. I love you. I love you. Playing that all the time. Again, not to me, not to anybody in particular, sending it to the divine, because the divine then receives it. Somehow, it is a magic open sesame, the words, the abracadabra words, that cause it to open up and start to send the healing energy down to resolve whatever it was at play. Those are the three phrases. I love you, I'm sorry, and please forgive me. What kind of questions do you have? Yes. Yeah. And you were at the dinner, so. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, and you're reminding me, thank you is another one that you can say. So, she said that she has an issue with I'm sorry. So, what does that tell me? Please understand this right now. Please get this right now. This is the biggie. I said earlier that each of us is 100% responsible for everything that shows up into our life. She just showed up in my life. What should I be doing? Yeah, and what did you say? Okay, well, you're all close. I want to say I'm sorry. I want to say please forgive me. I want to say I love you, but not to her. She is illustrating or mirroring something in me. I just participated in that moment. It was a co-creation. I can't go and look at her and say, you know what? I'm going to change you, Nancy. I know hypnosis. I know NLP. I know persuasion. I can get in there. I can twist a few knobs. See, she's already changing. And it's all over with for Nancy. She doesn't have a chance. No, I'm not doing any of that. I'm looking within myself, and I'm going, okay, it's not with her, it's with me. If I'm 100% responsible for everything in my life, she just showed up in my life stating that I'm 100% responsible, I have to do the cleaning. Now, by extension, all of you heard the same thing. Each of you would be saying, I love you, please forgive me, I'm sorry, thank you, because this showed up in your experience. Does this make sense? The average person walking the street or working at the hotel or anything isn't going to grasp this. This is going beyond even what I talked about in the attractor factor. But the one element that I think stands out and I'm very proud of is the whole idea of getting clear. I have found that if I get clear, the things that I'm going for tend to happen rapidly. I'll either get what I was going for or I'll get something better. Yes, sir. Well, we can't guarantee she will be healed. We can't guarantee that because this is another level, this is another aspect that's a little hard to take at first. You have to trust. What I've said in the attractor factor, and I think I say most of my talk, is I always tell you to end your intention with this or something better. Because the divine may have something better. We do not know the big picture. And that is tough. Our egos want to control it. Our egos want to say, this is the way it should happen. This is the way I want it to be. I'm going to wave my magic wand and I'm going to get it that way. That may not ultimately be right. You have to trust that the divine is coming from this wide objective view of things. All we got is this tiny little peephole, and we only see a little bit down the road. We don't know. So it's a matter of we have to trust, we have to heal, and whatever you're feeling right now needs to be, I love you, I'm sorry, release that. So you are more one with the divine. You may see a different, you may see some way to heal her. I don't know. But it's a matter of your clearing. And again, because you brought it up to me, I have to clear that. And the same with everybody else. Let me say one thing and I'll come back to you. When I was leaving San Jose this past week, when I was with Dr. Len, and I went to the airport, Dr. Len doesn't believe very much in intentions. He believes in totally trusting the divine. And when you totally trust the divine, you end up being inspired by something. And this is the level I want to take this for this entire weekend. We want to come from manifestation by inspiration. Is where we want to come from. There's at least three different kinds of manifestation. That's one of them. So he doesn't really believe in stating intentions. He believes more in just constantly cleaning and being one with the divine. So when it nudges you to do something, you know, money likes speed, whatever it is that kicks into gear for you, just do it, the Nike phrase, you just take action. But on the way to the airport, I thought to myself, I would really like to sit by myself on the plane. You know, the planes have been very crowded recently. It was crowded coming in to San Jose. Going back, I'd really like to sit by myself. So I thought, that's my intention. I'm going to state that Joe wants to sit by himself on the plane. Nobody beside me. I can stretch out. I can take a nap, whatever. Okay. So Dr. Len himself takes me to the airport. And wonderful goodbye and everything. So I feel like I'm blessed by the divine. Here I am. This shaman-type mystic is taking me to the airport. And I'm stating my intention. So I go breeze right through security. No line. How many have ever gone to the airport and there's no line? There's none. I wear a vest so I can put all my stuff in it. So when they say, empty your pockets, I just take the vest off. And usually I have a whole bunch of time to do that. But I walked in, there's no line. It's like, come on, let's go. Get through the gate. So I go to the gate, and my plane's delayed. It's delayed for an hour. That's fine. I can read. I got books with me. Then I look up, it's delayed for 3 hours. Okay, I'll go buy another book. Read that. Then it's delayed for another 2 hours. So I'm still sitting there and thought, okay, I'll start working on that book with Dr. Len and go buy a notebook and I'm starting to write. Then it's delayed for another hour. So I'm at the airport for 7.5 hours. Nice airport, very small, not very crowded, nothing to buy. You know, I can't eat all that much, so I can go and have salads every couple hours. That's it. You know, I did some work on the Zero Limits book, but basically I'm sitting there. Finally, after watching a lot of people get upset, I'm cleaning on it. I love you. I love you. I love you. Watching one woman scream, you know, this is so unfair. I'm never going to use this airline again. And she somehow disappears. But I don't know where they took her. So I finally get on the plane, which is virtually empty. Not only do I have the empty seat beside me, but I got the whole row. I got the row in front of me. I got the row behind me. There's like 40 people on the entire plane. Most of the people who were supposed to be on my original flight had found other flights or did other things. A lot of them were business people who were desperate to get to wherever they were going. And I was much more relaxed about it. So I got my intention. Now, was that worth it? I thought about that on the plane. I thought, well, geez, I could have been home 7 hours earlier if I hadn't opened my big mouth. So this is kind of a lesson about choosing intentions correctly or even not choosing them at all and letting inspiration come. So I didn't forget. You had a question. You're exactly right. It does. It makes it easier on one level, but it's also harder because the way you just described it is when you're not entangled in the other person's emotions. So in other words, I don't know if you're married, but if you're with a relationship with somebody else and they're pushing your buttons, you know, it's not so easy to say, I love you and send it up there and not to be engaged over here. So on one level, what you're describing is easier. This is why he says it's simple, but it's not easy to do this. And you constantly have to remind yourself. Now, I'm always looking for ways to remind myself. I'm wearing this button here that says Seaport on it. And I've been wearing it for like half a year and didn't even know what it meant. I finally found out what it meant this last weekend. So this Seaport button I wear all the time. And if you've seen me before, and you've noticed it, no doubt, in our mastermind groups, and Pat has, and probably at our dinner. And I don't know if I was wearing it on the cruise when we met or not. I probably was. So I'm wearing it all the time. It's a clearing device. And so what it is doing, consciously and unconsciously, whether I'm aware of it or not, it's constantly cleaning me of programming, of beliefs, anything that's in the way of the divine. According to Dr. Land, this is a non-stop process. Non-stop. We are always going to be cleaning. Always. He explained that the Seaport means, the CEE is clean, erase, as you go back to port. Port meaning the divine. Clean, erase, as you go back to port. So I'm looking for these devices to remind me of these situations because I, like everybody else, get entangled in some of the relationships or some of the emotions and want to break free. And it's not from changing the other person, it's from dealing with me. Yes, Suzanne. Oh, businessbyyou.com. Businessbyyou, which is also where Dr. Len is located. He does consultations. There's information about him. There's information about the pen and some other things. No, I go to those phrases because we don't know where it's coming from. I used to think we knew where it was coming from, and our mind can play that trick, but in many ways you're going down the rabbit hole and you're going to get lost because it can show all kinds of things which may or may not be accurate. The Ho'oponopono approach is it's coming from programming that is pretty much just out there in the universe, and we're sharing it. And what we want to do is clean it, and the more we clean it, the more it will disappear from the universe. So, no, I am in a process of saying, I love you. When that is going on and I'm in that situation that you're describing right there, I'm not going to say, geez, why did that happen? Where did it come from? At one point, I did. Now I'm just saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. An example could be the guy who puts on most of the Ho'oponopono workshops is Marvin, a Filipino who works at a Lexus car dealership. It's one of their top salespeople. Now, this is how manifestation works. He shows up every day not intending to make records. He shows up every day to go to work. He holds the record for selling the most luxury cars at that dealership. He sold something like $50 million worth of cars, and he gets something like 30% as his commission. Now, when we question him and say, okay, what are your sales techniques? What are your dialogue techniques? What are your hypnotic techniques? You know, what have you read? What are your negotiation techniques? He says, I don't do any of that. All I do is clean. What does that mean? I say, I love you. When you're talking to people, you say, I love you. And he says, no, I don't say it out loud. I'm not saying I love you. He says, I'm saying it inside myself. As I'm saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, inside himself, silently, he may get inspired. There's that inspiration again, to say something which may or may not be the right thing. If a person is willing to leave, they don't like the car, they don't like him, they don't want to be there, whatever, he's fine. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. They drive off. More often than not, people will often go there reluctant to buy a car, just looking, as we've all heard, and they'll buy three. They'll say, I really like this car. Well, I'll buy one for my wife, and I've got my cousin or my daughter or whoever, and they'll end up buying three. He is coming from a place of, I am only cleaning. I am only saying I love you. Now, when Dr. Lennon and I went out to dinner, he was the third party at dinner. He wouldn't drink very much, and I found out as soon as you got him to drink, he either shut up totally or he just talked, you know, incessantly, one extreme or the other. But I talked to him a little bit about cars. It's clear that he loves cars, but it's clear that he just wants to merge with what we're calling the divine. He wants to be inspired in every moment, and the only way for him to do that is to clean himself of whatever's interrupting that connection. For him, the only way to clean it is, I love you. Non-stop, I love you. Now, when I talk to Dr. Len about that, he says he does the very same thing. He's saying, I am saying I love you, please forgive me, thank you, over and 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 over again, all the time, all the situations. He says that is exactly what he is doing in every situation. Somebody comes to him that is troubled by something, he's looking at himself, not saying, where did that trouble come from? Not trying to investigate it or be a thought detective, which I'm fascinated by being a thought detective. You know, it's kind of fun to go and say, wow, where did that thought come from? Let's go trace it all the way back here. And there's a certain level of entertainment doing that. But what I'm finding is that I want results. Don't you want results? I want results. That's the bottom line for me. So I'm going to listen to the guy who healed the entire mentally ill ward. I'm going to listen to the guy who is selling luxury cars without selling the luxury cars. You know, just I loving you to everybody that shows up. So to answer your question, no, we're not doing that. I don't want to dismiss the fact that as you're saying, I love you, and please forgive me, and thank you, and I'm sorry, and whatever else is coming up, you may be inspired to look in a certain way. You won't dismiss that, but that's coming from inspiration. That's not coming from control. It's not coming from ego. It's coming from a different place. Yes? Yeah. Well, that's a great observation. Yeah, you've just detached yourself from it. You're no longer looking at whatever you were analyzing or connecting with in front of you, and you've taken it to a whole other level. Yes.
I didn't know that was easier.
You think it makes it easier to do the I love you type thing? Exactly. Yeah, we'll get the shortcut. Yes. Yeah, this is great. It sounds like you're getting it. You're grasping what we're talking about. Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right. You're taking it to the source. Yeah, and that's part of what Ho'oponopono is all about. As you are healing yourself, you are healing whatever that was that we all shared. That's what this is all about. It's not just healing yourself. It's going to heal it showing up wherever it shows up in everybody else. You are the microcosm. You are the representative of all of it. And this is one way to heal it. And that's where he says it's not easy. Yes, you are looking at whatever it is that came up. And he used the word repulsed a few times. And he told a few stories in various times that I've shared with him of looking at files. And I mean, these were criminally insane people who had murdered others, so their files were not pretty. And whatever it is that came up in him, as repulsed as he might have been or whatever the words might be, that's what he had to deal with. And that's what he was healing. Yeah, you are. I agree. I think you're totally on the hook here. You're totally on the hook. Yes. Dr. Lynn says you do not have to feel I love you. You have to say I love you. I wrestled with that one. I thought, how are the words just going to do it? How are me just saying I love you when I don't love them? Or I don't feel whatever, you know, I'm supposed to feel I love you as I send it to the divine, but I don't feel what I would call love. It doesn't matter. He said, that's why the T-shirt idea. You know, I'm a marketing guy too, so I like the idea of the T-shirt saying I love you, but it works on a couple different levels. The people who read it, if I was wearing an I love you T-shirt, you can imagine that I'm wearing an I love you T-shirt, and you saw it, you would be doing the Ho'oponopono process unknowingly, because you don't have to actually feel it. It may lead to you feeling love, because that's the hypnotic power of words. It may start the process of you feeling love, but you don't have to feel it. You have to say it within yourself. Yes. Yeah, you're changing your vibration by saying those words. Well, that's a good point because, you know, if all of you have seen the movie What the Bleep, you know about the studies that were done with words and just putting the word love around the water changed the water. So there is truth, which I haven't looked at too deeply, and just saying the phrase, I love you, is being a way to change DNA, change the energy, change the molecules, change what's going out there. But I'm really trying to simplify it, that you just have to say, I love you, over and over and over again. We get that tape going, we can all get it. Oh, we got an objection from over here in the far left. The guy who sits on this side of the table, all by himself, he wanted the flowers on the floor. Yes, Craig. That was good. That was good. Well, let me give you another quick story. Thank you for sharing that, because this ties into her. And then I'm going to take a short break, and I have a bunch of manuals to pass out to you. I have all kind of gifts for you over the weekend. You'll be very pleased with that. When I was at the Ho'oponopono workshop this last time in San Jose with Dr. Lin, whole weekend is about cleaning. That is the whole focus. I love you. Just nonstop. And, of course, we ask questions, we have dialogue, but the whole reason I'm there is to clean, and I'm cleaning me, I'm cleaning my insides. Back home, Narissa is back in Wimberley, taking care of the house and the critters and so forth. She didn't go. Now, Narissa has been stressed out to the max. She has a to-do list that is scary. Large items on it, many of them she's doing for me. There's video projects. I did a recent publicity stunt, the canine concert, which is a whole different subject. Promoting my Barnum book. I got my other books to write, but she's got her own thing. She's doing the news clip. She's doing the video. I forget what other videos that you have. She's got the video code maker, the software she's created. She wants to do news releases on it. Her computer was breaking down. Her wireless was not working. She's got numerous things to go. While I'm in San Jose, I call home on Sunday. She said that she's been working on a surprise for me. Surprise. Marissa's working on a surprise for me. She's too busy. She doesn't even know I'm not there. She's been working on a surprise, and it took her all day. A surprise that took all day when she's got this to-do list that is beyond comprehension. And she said, I would never guess what it was in a million years. And I said, well, I don't have a million years. This is long distance. Just tell me. She says she had gone into my closet, took everything out of my closet, bought lumber, bought the rods, rebuilt my office, got hangers, put all my stuff on hangers, took all the clothes that had been piled up out on a sofa, chair, and so forth. I wear lots of t-shirts, and they're just piled up. Put those on hangers, put them in the closet. Now, comprehend how mind-blowing that was. I have been in a workshop cleaning myself all weekend. Narissa, 1,000 miles away, I have never requested that she clean my closet, let alone rebuild my closet, knowing that she's got all of these things to do on her own. Where did she get that idea? Where did she get that idea? Where did that come from? It was not a request from me. I don't know anybody that would have requested it, who dared would have requested. Narissa, while Joe's away, go in his closet, all right, and take it apart, rebuild it, and hang everything up nice and neat. This is a miracle. It is on the level as if I had been looking at the new BMW Z4, as if she had said something like, somebody drove by and dropped one off, and it's in the driveway, and her keys are there, and the title's in your name. It was on the same level of impact that she cleaned my closet. Is that not a miracle? That's the level that I'm taking us this weekend. That's what I mean by beyond manifestation. I did not even state that as an intention. I'm not aware of her stating it as an intention. I am grateful beyond belief. I have a closet, and I can find stuff, and I didn't do it. I allowed it. It happened. So let's take a break for like 10 minutes, and I will pass out this manual, and we will continue the fun and games.